It's good to see everyone here tonight. It's good to be with you. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yes, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Acts chapter 4. And tonight, we're going to call this message, Grace Makes Miracles. Amen. Grace makes miracles. And over the past several weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages about the grace of God. And we've looked at what the grace of God is. We've looked at what the grace of God is not. And we might just do a little bit of review here for those that are new with us, just to kind of catch you up. We've seen what grace means in the Bible. Of course, we know over there in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, it says, "For by grace you are saved." Is there anybody here that you're saved by grace, right? That word grace, it means God's undeserved act of mercy through the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 talks about God's grace. It says that God demonstrated his love for us that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Meaning we did not deserve Jesus. We could not earn him. You know, God could have just let us be lost. He could have let us face eternal punishment. But he sent Jesus, his son, to take and to bear the punishment for us. That upon that cross, Jesus bore all the sins of the world. He bore all of our sickness and disease. He bore our poverty and lack. He bore our fear. He bore every awful thing that humanity has ever done. And he did that even when, you know, we didn't deserve it. That's the grace and the mercy of God. And grace is when God's act of mercy just captures your heart, motivates you to do something for the Lord. Amen. Meaning it motivates you to serve him with all your heart. Grace is upon the life of the believer when they see what God did through Jesus and they're motivated to serve God no matter how inconvenient it is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how challenging it is, no matter what it means we have to give up for ourselves, but we put God first because grace is upon us. It has captured our heart. You know, and of course, that same passage, Ephesians 2, 8, says, "By grace you are saved," and then it goes on to say, "to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do." Grace is not an excuse to do nothing for God. You know, grace is not a license to sin or to go nonchalant or have a weak attitude towards God. You know, grace, when it's on you, it sees what God did for you and says, "Man, I want to serve him. I want to serve him." See, when grace is on you, you have a deep interest in what God wants you to do. You know, but if we think that grace is a license to sin, I'll tell you what, the Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under law, but under grace, Romans 6:14. You know, grace is not God's tolerance for sin. Grace does not mean that God's accepting or that God has just, you know, decided to be a little bit more tolerant towards sin. Grace is also not just some random thing that God gives us to make life easier, all right? Grace is what empowers us to get through challenges. You can't avoid every challenge in this life. You know, Christianity isn't always easy. And we got to stop seeking out an easy Jesus, and we need to start seeking out faithfulness within ourselves. Grace is when you push forward, even though everything in your body and your mind is telling you to give up, right? Amen. Grace says, "I want to serve God the best of my ability." Praise the Lord. And we said this also, none of us have a perfect batting average. You know, but grace isn't because you're perfect or you're doing everything just right. Grace just means you have a heart that's moving in the right direction. Amen. You know, you're on an upward trend to serving God. Amen. We saw this definition also for grace. It means the divine influence upon your heart. We should be able to see God's influence on our heart. You know, by what we do, by what we decide, what we choose in life, what our priorities are. You know, your priorities in life should absolutely make God's grace visible in your life. And I'm preaching to the choir. You're in church on a Saturday night, right? Amen. Here you are. What is that? That's grace. Brought you here. You know, there was something enough in your heart that said, you know what? I want to be there. I want to be in the house of the Lord. All right. That's just a illustration of grace. The word grace, it also is translated the word gratitude. Gratitude is the word grace is the root word of gratitude. It means literally grace means to be thankful or to live a life that says thank you to God. Does your life say thank you all the time by our actions? And if you want to stir some grace in your life, get very grateful. You know, Father God, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that I'm washed of my sins. Thank you, Lord God, for your great redemption. Thank you for my local church. Thank you for my home. Thank you, Father, you feed me every day of my life. If you will actively listen, and again, you don't have to go stand on the counter at Walmart and do this. But we should be taking time. I mean, you can do this on the way to work. You know, you can do this when you're on your way home from work. You can do this, I mean, at any time that, you know, it just seems pertinent. I mean, just say, Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. It should absolutely be the number one thing we say to God all the time is thank you. See, that's grace. Grace is so grateful. You want to live a life that says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so whatever is sacred to God is going to be sacred to us when grace is active on our lives. Amen. Have you found Acts chapter 4? We're going to start in verse 29. We're going to take a deeper look into grace. I've been on this passage for the last couple of weeks. I ministered on it here last Saturday night. We're going to take a little bit of a bigger step here and go forward, but we're going to revisit some things. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Lord, I'll do it. Lord, I'll do it. We'll just obey God. Go over to Acts chapter 3. There's a verse, and I don't even know why, that the Lord is dealing with me to read you this verse. And I have to find it. It's playing on the inside, and this is not what I plan to minister on. And I'll be honest, for the last several moments, the Lord's been up here, you know, playing that verse on the inside of me, saying, read that. Read that out loud. And I'm up here having an argument in my brain, like, wait a minute. I got to move on with this sermon. This verse doesn't really even seem to pertain with the direction we're even going. We're going to do it. Go over. It is in Acts chapter 3, and it is in verse 16. Acts chapter 3 in verse 16. This may be for one person. This may be for all of us here tonight. This may take us in a different direction. I may share this for 1 minute and then we move on. I don't know why God is up here, you know, saying, read this verse. You know what this verse is in context with. Remember Peter and John were walking into the temple at the hour of prayer at the beginning of Acts chapter 3. And remember, there was a man who was over 40 years old who was lame from the time of birth. Remember that? And they would set him at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. And he would be begging for an alms. Remember that? And remember, John and Peter are on the way in. And, you know, the man asks him for some money, and Peter stops and says, gold and silver I have none, but what I do have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And remember, they lifted him up, and the Bible says that his leg and ankle bones received strength, and he started to leap and to walk and to be praising God. And remember, it drew a huge crowd, and Peter stood up. And remember that? He says, you men of Israel, why do you marvel and wonder at this thing? Remember that? He said, don't think by any of our own holiness that has made this man whole. But then we come to Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. Oh, here we go. He says this. Peter's speaking to the crowd to explain. And he says this. And his name, through faith in his name. This is talking about Jesus. He just got done explaining that this was done through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Of course, Jesus at this point has already been crucified. Jesus has already been, you know, taken back up to heaven. You know, this is after the resurrection. Peter says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and you know. See, everybody knew that that man was lame. Everyone knew that he was crippled from the time of his birth. He says, yes, the faith which is by him has given him this what? And this is what the Holy Ghost is saying right now. Perfect soundness. Perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, the faith that is in the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, this is what the name of Jesus does. This is what the Lord does. This is what the Lord desires for each and every one of his people. And perfect soundness is not just a matter of physical healing, which, praise God, that's included. But perfect soundness is spirit, soul, and body. And a lot of God's people, and man, I'm just speaking by the Spirit of God, a lot of God's people are not walking in the perfect soundness of God. They're tormented. They're full of fear and anxiety. They're stressed of mind, stressed of body. They're without the grace of God. You know what I mean? And here the Spirit of God is saying, just so you know, perfect soundness in the presence of you all. God wants to do something in your life. Glory to God. And he wants others to see you walking in perfect soundness. It is what God has for you. It is what God has prepared for you. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. There is, you know, doctrines out there. There is, you know, groups and believers that sit and they argue about, is it God's will to heal somebody? Is it God's will that they'd be free from something? Is it God's will that they're this and that? Here we see what the name of Jesus Christ does. And if his name does it, you know what he wants. You know what he desires. He desires the best for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This name and faith in his name. Notice it wasn't just the name. It says through faith in his name made this man strong. Faith in his name will make you strong. Faith in his name will absolutely bring that perfect soundness. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's interesting that Peter and John engaged this man and lifted this man up. But notice the faith wasn't just John and Peter's. Something in that man decided to believe. And when he decided to believe, and if you go back and read it, it's like John and Peter's faith definitely inspired him. They took him. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. The man did not get up on his own initially. Remember what it says? It says, then Peter said, reached down, snatched him up, and started to pull him up. And somewhere in the moment that it took for him to get off the ground to the point where he was standing fully on his feet, that man said, these men must believe this so much that I believe it too. And through faith in his name, all of a sudden he was given strength and perfect soundness. What is holding any of us back? Right? Nothing. Meaning it's all available to us. Can we have, you know, faith in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes. We can receive it. Why not right tonight, just once and for all, just decide to put your faith in that name and say, I've got the perfect soundness. Say, well, Pastor, I don't feel that way. Stop feeling that way. Meaning stop trying to just feel it. Start believing it. I've got it. Hallelujah. Are you here tonight? Well, there's a message tonight. Church dismissed. Why would the Holy Ghost have me to read Acts 3:16? I mean, I'm up here wrestling in my mind. You know, oh, but I got to preach my message. It's the worst thing a preacher can ever do is preach your message. I'm not saying I'm not going to preach my, you know, I've done some study. If the Lord has changed the programming here tonight and we are supposed to go anywhere different, and if you're wondering why I'm up here monologuing here a little bit, because I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the Spirit of God right now. Praise the Lord. Let's just worship him. Can we just lift our hands? Father, we just bless you here tonight. We glorify you. Blessed, blessed, blessed is your name. Praise the Lord. Father, you are so faithful. You are so good. Father, we just take this time. We're just going to wait upon you. Lord, it's not my service. We just glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. If you're here tonight and you know that you are walking in anything less than the soundness that God has provided for you and you want help, please know there's no shame in it. I've been in that place. It doesn't mean you're guilty of something. There's no shame at all. It's just the help and the goodness of God. If you just feel, I mean, maybe you're just dealing with something in your body. Maybe it's something in your mind, and you would like to put your faith in that name and receive that soundness in the presence of everybody. Go ahead. If that's you, stand to your feet and come down front. I want to lay hands on you, and I want to minister to you. Father, we just glorify your holy name. Glorify your holy name. We'll start down here. Let's bring everybody over to, yep, that'd be great right there. That'd be good. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, let's just line up just about a couple feet in front of the platform. Praise you, Lord God. Everyone, let's just praise him and worship him. If you're up here to receive ministry right now, just you can say it within your heart. You can say it out your mouth. I believe that by faith in his name, I receive perfect soundness in the presence of us all. Thank you, Father God. We glorify you. We worship you, Lord God. We glorify you. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we thank you. Perfect soundness. In Jesus' mighty name, perfect soundness. Father, we believe it. We receive it. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive perfect soundness. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive perfect soundness. What we simply say is, I believe it. I believe it. In Jesus' name, receive perfect soundness. In Jesus' name, I receive perfect soundness. In Jesus' name, receive perfect soundness. In Jesus' name, receive perfect soundness. In Jesus' name, receive perfect soundness. That burden is lifting. That burden is lifting. God has seen you. God's hands upon you. In Jesus' name, perfect soundness. In Jesus' name, perfect soundness. And I take authority over that torment in your mind. In Jesus' name, receive perfect soundness. In Jesus' name, receive perfect soundness. In Jesus' name and in faith in that name, receive perfect soundness. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive perfect soundness. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive perfect soundness. Father, you are faithful and you are good. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, receive perfect soundness. Glory to God. I believe it. I believe it. I'm saying that because that's an example for all of us. I believe it. I receive. I receive perfect soundness in the name of Jesus. I receive perfect soundness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I receive perfect soundness. In Jesus' name, and in faith in that name, I receive perfect soundness. I believe it. I receive it. I have it. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, I receive perfect soundness. And many times, we have to enforce it. Many times, we have to make a stand. And we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, that fear, that anxiety has no place in me. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command it to go. And in the name of Jesus Christ, this burden is lifted all the way unto victory. All the way unto victory. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive perfect soundness in His name and by faith in His name. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive perfect soundness, spirit, soul, and body. I believe it, Lord. I have it, Lord. I believe it. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive perfect soundness by His name and by faith in His name. I believe it and I have it. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I receive perfect soundness. I receive it in the name of Jesus. And by faith in that name. Is there anybody who has not been ministered to that would like to be? Who hasn't? Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, by faith in that name, I command perfect soundness in this body and in this mind. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and by faith in that name, I receive perfect soundness. Father, we thank You for perfect soundness, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you've been ministered to, you can go ahead and head back to your seats. Is there anybody that has not been ministered to? Folks, let's just take a moment and worship Him. Just worship the Lord. You can go ahead and head back to your seat. God bless you. Father God, we just praise You and worship You. Father, we just glorify You. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Remember Crystal? Hallelujah, glory to God. Father, we just glorify You. We thank You, Lord God. Yeah. Yes. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Yes. Praise God. God has something just for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank You. I glorify You. And Father, I thank You by the name of Jesus Christ and in faith in that name. Thank You. Perfect soundness. Father, thank You. I just see the burdens lifting. Yes. Freedom. Glory to God. Freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. No more exhaustion. No more exhaustion. It's exhausting. That's exhausting. Glory to God. 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 In Jesus' name. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord God. Father, for perfect soundness. Say it with me, brother. I believe in Jesus' name, I receive perfect soundness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just worship Him. Just worship Him. Father, we praise You. We glorify You. Praise You, Lord. Glory to God. Reverend Chris, come on over here. Brother Greg, stand behind him just in case. Father, I thank you. I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Father, we just thank you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord God. Like a coal of fire. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Father, you are holy and you are good. Yes. All your will, all your plan comes to pass. Thank you, Lord God. We just bless you. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Perfect soundness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. We just bless you. We glorify you. Come on, everybody. Let's just praise him and worship him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can I have the pulpit back? We'll bring the pulpit back. Let's just praise him for a moment. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord God. We glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Perfect soundness. Perfect soundness. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to 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 God. Hallelujah. Just praise him. Worship him. Father, you are holy and you're good. Glory be to God. Everyone can go ahead and take their seats. Hallelujah. Folks, if you're free, you're going to have to say it and declare it yourself. Amen. You know, and this is what the Lord would have us to do next here tonight. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians. The regularly scheduled programming has been interrupted for this important safety announcement. Here we go. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because we've got a big part to play in this. And how, you know, we can get free and the anointing will break the yoke. And we're so grateful for that. But folks, how do you stay free? First of all, you're going to have to say it. You're going to have to speak it, you know. You're going to have to say it and declare it out of your mouth. You know, you're going to have to enforce that. The Holy Ghost had me minister that to somebody, you know, here tonight, that we're going to have to make a stand, you know. But I'm going to show you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and go over to verse 3. Here's what it comes down to. You know, the Holy Ghost can, you know, and I tell the Spirit of God this all the time, hijack our services. You know, I don't want to stick to my notes. It's not, I just do that to be diligent. I mean, we're not bound to what man wants to do. We want what the Spirit of God wants to do. Amen. And this is these next three verses, 3, 4, and 5, is what we have to know and understand if we're going to stay free. You know, a lot of people, they talk about, you know, spiritual warfare, and, you know, and there's a lot of outrageous ideas out there. But what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? And if you're here and you're visiting with us, and this seems different or strange, just know, you know, we're a Bible church. Meaning, like, if it's in the Word, we're going to practice it. Amen. We're not after our own here. 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says this. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Everyone say war. War. War after the flesh. So now it's talking about the battle that we face every single day. Folks, I'm going to tell you right here and right now that the number one battlefield in your life is right here. It is right here. It is that space between your ears. It is the organ that we call the brain. It is the mind of man. It is the battle that we are dealing with every single day. Look at verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare. Here we go. More war talk. It says, you know, he said war in verse 3. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Now, there's a lot of interesting ideas today about what strongholds are. Well, just why don't we let the Bible tell us? Notice the semicolon at the end of verse 4. Remember, chapter and verse was added to the Bible by people, you know, to help us reference where something was said in the Bible. You know, just because it's a different verse doesn't mean it's a different topic, you know, or even a different sentence. Actually, this sentence is still, you know, being spoken here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means not natural. Yes. You know, there's no help for us just naturally for these things. We can, yeah, thank God medicine can be a temporary help. And thank God there's people that help us. And there's things that are, you know, band-aids that can help us for a little bit. But whatever a stronghold is going to require a supernatural element of God. All right, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but they're mighty through God. That means they require a supernatural element in order to pull down a stronghold. Now, the sentence is not over. It tells us where a stronghold is. I know there's a lot of interesting ideas. People have this idea that strongholds are, you know, hovering over cities and regions and forcing demonic activity on the earth. There's just one problem with that. The Bible doesn't teach us that. There are demonic spirits in the heavenlies. We have to know and understand this. But when it talks about strongholds in the Bible, it tells us, verse 5, what the stronghold, where it is and where it takes place. Bring up verse 5 for us. It says, casting down imaginations. See, there's people that try to believe, you know, well, I'm going to cast a demon out of the sky and cast it down to the earth and I'm going to bring it down. Well, there's just one problem. Kenneth Hagin, he said this, and I really agree with it. He said, why would you want to bring it down to earth and make a bigger problem? You know, that makes a lot of sense because he was just making a lighthearted quip because it does not talk about pulling strongholds down, which means not demons out of the sky. It says casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations take place, everybody? Right here. Right here. So the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but mighty through God to cast down imaginations taking place in our brains every day. This is where spiritual warfare starts. This is where it takes place. Your mind is absolutely the ground that the devil wants to take over. How many of you know when you get born again, you don't get a new brain? You know, and you've heard me say this before. If you have stinking thinking before you get saved, you can have plenty of stinking thinking after you get saved. Has there ever been anyone here as a Christian that you've had stinking thinking? We all do. All right? It's a daily battle. But it's mighty through God, and it's a war. It's a battle. And you can't lay down, you know, the fight against this. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Where do imaginations take place? In your mind. Where do thoughts take place? In your mind. The stronghold is a stronghold of the mind, and a stronghold is simply this. It is a pattern of thought that captures your mind and leads you into the wrong pattern of living. All right? Meaning wrong thoughts, you know, wrong actions. A stronghold is when we've allowed something to get so a hold of our mind that we start to act out on it. We start to live that way. And now we've lost that battle. We start to actually act on every thought. Folks, have you ever had a thought in your mind that you know is just downright detestable? You know, detestable to you, detestable to God? Have you ever had a fight with somebody and they don't know about it in your mind? Have you ever had, you know, the idea, folks, married couples, has the devil ever given you a thought to commit adultery on your spouse? Has the devil ever put a picture in your mind of you doing something that would be downright criminal? Yeah. Listen, you know, if we all really just unveiled our whole brains in front of people, most of us probably would think we'd end up in jail, right? Because the mind is a very dirty place at times. And the enemy will absolutely, Ephesians chapter 6 says that the enemy throws fiery darts, you know, and I truly believe those darts are thoughts, because it says you got to wear the helmet of salvation, you know, absolutely. And so this is what the Lord would have me to teach you, because the Lord and the Holy Ghost is saying he wants you to have perfect soundness. perfect soundness is gained or lost in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Perfect soundness is gained or lost. It comes down to the matter of the mind. We can believe it, and then we say, I am free in the name of Jesus. I have perfect soundness. But what are you going to do tonight when the devil comes and knocks on your brain and says, you don't feel it? You don't feel it. You don't look it. You don't feel it. You know, he's going to give you every excuse in the book of why perfect soundness doesn't belong to you. He said, if you had perfect soundness, you wouldn't feel this way. If you had perfect soundness, you wouldn't be thinking about that right now. No, if you're thinking, you know, something that is against God, notice what it says, imaginations and every other high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Those thoughts are coming to your imagination to wage war against what God has for you in your life. Tonight, the Lord is letting you know, I have perfect soundness for you. I have perfect soundness. And that's God's will, his desire. He then ministered, you know, to us here tonight, you know, through his name and faith in his name. All right. Well, guess what? There's going to be thoughts that are coming to exalt themselves against that knowledge that you have, that you received here tonight. And now notice, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Whose job is it to make sure every thought is obedient to Christ? That's ours. God is not going to control your brain for you. Listen, people say, well, God, I'm sad. God, come off your throne and make me not sad. He's not going to do that. Oh, come on, you know, Lord, you know, come in and defend me. No, what does the scripture say? Ephesians chapter 6, he says, you taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. God does not quench the flaming arrows of the wicked one. You quench them. You taking the shield of the spoken word of faith. What do you do when everything in your being, everything in your mind feels completely the opposite than perfect soundness? See, that's when you start. See, over there in Romans chapter 4, right around the 17th and 18th and 19th and 20th verse, he says over there, and God, who calls those things that be not as though they were. All right. Our own heavenly Father calls things that be not as though they were. Meaning, like, I don't feel it. This is the opposite of everything. But I know that by the knowledge of God, he has perfect soundness. And in Jesus' name, that soundness is mine, and I'm not letting go of it. I am not letting go of it. You know, and you're going to have to renew your mind. You're going to have to cast these imaginations down. I mean, the devil's going to give you a picture of yourself, you know, dying young. And then you'll cast down that imagination. You'll say, okay, well, then I'll put a picture in your mind of your spouse dying young. And you'll cast that down. And then he'll give you a picture of your kids dying young. And you'll cast that down. And then he'll give you a picture of, you know, you quitting on God. And you cast that down. He'll give a picture of you leaving your spouse. You got to cast that down. He'll give you a picture in your mind of how oppressed and depressed you are. Cast that down. And then he'll give you an excuse of why you should be afraid. You got to cast that down. Say, well, Pastor, you make this sound like it's a full-time job. Because it is. It's an everyday thing. If you're waiting to feel perfect, if you're waiting to think perfectly, I'm here to tell you, you're going to be waiting a very long time. You have to cast down those imaginations. You have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of your warfare, God's just saying, I've given you the weapon of faith. I've given you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. They're supernatural weapons. You know, faith is supernatural. Can you bring that up? Where is that? Go to Ephesians 6:17. Is that it? We'll see. And if I don't pass the test, I think it's right starting in that verse. Can you bring up Ephesians 6:17, talking about the armor of God? And once that comes up, we're going to see either I know the scriptural reference. Yeah, that's one of them. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, can you back it up a couple of verses? Go to verse Someone just shout out, which one is it? The shield of faith? Is it 15 or 16? So I was one verse. Above all, taking the what? Shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Literally in the Greek, it says wicked one, or a reference to Satan. All right, if you have a more modern Bible, it'll say wicked one. It's a reference to the devil himself. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. You know, faith is a supernatural thing. Folks, and I'm here to tell you, faith is spoken by your words. It is. And you know what? I'm going to just hammer this out a little bit, because there is, you know, and I get it, all right? I understand there's been a lot of abuses in the word of faith world. You know, there's been abuses. There's been people that took that doctrine, which that doctrine is pure. The word of faith is right in Romans chapter 10. You cannot be saved apart from the word of faith. But the word of faith as a movement, you know, as a denomination or a section of Christianity, however you want to say it, you know, some folks, they took that doctrine, they went and they twisted it, they made it full of greed, they made it full of selfishness or whatever, but the truth of where it originated is absolutely in the Bible. Satan quotes scripture and twists it a little bit. You know, you don't look at the twist that he puts on it, you go back to its original intention. And the fact of the matter is, the word faith literally translated means the spoken word. See, the spoken word is what casts down these imaginations and casts down these thoughts that are coming to try to steal the perfect soundness in our life. Folks, there's going to come a time. Every believer is going to have to grow through that trial. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to pick up faith. You're going to have to cast down imaginations. You're going to have to say, no, in Jesus' name, I do not permit this any further. God will allow to happen in your mind what you are willing to allow. God does not stop it. If you're willing to, for your brain to just get beat up nonstop, God will allow that to happen. He doesn't want that to happen. But he's put that responsibility. He said, here's the weapons of your warfare. They're not natural. They're supernatural. It's spoken faith. Yes. You know, see, when the devil tries to tell me that my wife's going to die young, whatever. I mean, we could take a million examples. That's just an example of one thought the devil could try to give somebody. I say, no, with long life, he satisfies her and shows her his salvation. When the devil says, oh yeah, well then you're going to just die early, then I'm going to kill you. I say, no, with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. You know, when the devil says, you know, you're going to go broke, you're going to have nothing. No. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. The reason why so many Christians get beat up in their mind is that they're not sitting on a scripture to absolutely cast down that thought and that imagination. And it comes to steal perfect soundness. Oh my goodness, folks, I don't know what thoughts are hounding you. You know, I don't know what the devil is constantly bombarding your mind with. But I know this, the word is stronger than it all. I believe the word. I believe that faith spoken out of the mouth of a believer. Isn't that exactly how you got born again? If it can change your address from hell to heaven, it can change your address from fear to joy, from sick to healed. It's the same word. If it can supernaturally recreate you in the image of God, then I'm here to tell you that it's able to change whatever other address it needs to be changed. You know, oh, but Pastor, I'm just tormented. I just don't want this to happen. Folks, you need to know and understand the strongest, best believers on this earth, the greatest ministers, the most anointed people, whether they ever showed it or not. And trust me, if they were being used mightily by God, I guarantee you the attack was even greater on them. Folks, I'm here to tell you, and I'm not saying that our answer is that someone is relating to us. But you just need to know, because I know the devil will come in and say, well, that's just because he's the pastor. Look how confident he is up there. you know, look at, you know, how bold he is and it makes for good preaching and everything. Folks, I'm here to tell you that it happens to everybody, pastors included, all the time. I mean, the devil will say to me on a nonstop basis, he'll say, you're going to lose your churches. And then I'll answer it with the word. He'll say, okay, well, then you're going to lose your family. Then I'll say the word. Well, then you're gonna have nothing. You know, then I say the word. You're going to fall into this, that, or the other. There is, if we think, see, that's the thing about torment. That's the thing that the devil tries to do with us. He tries to make us feel unique. Like no one understands but you. You know, no one understands what you're going through. You're alone. You're isolated. I'm here to tell you what, you're not alone. The Lord said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No, never. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But you're going to have to. Can you go back to 2 Corinthians 10:5? Casting down imaginations, every high thing. Folks, if you came up here and if hands were laid upon you here tonight, God is providing for you. But if we think that, you know, we're going to go home tonight, what are you going to do when the good feeling is hard to find? Because you're going to come out of church with a good feeling here tonight. But at that door, the Bible says, and Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, in the parable of the sower, that Satan is waiting to steal the word. He wants to absolutely rob you of what you received here tonight. This is how you stop him. You know, it's not just that the Spirit can minister to you that and say, okay, well, I'll never have another oppressive thought again. I'm just, you know, I have perfect soundness. Because what'll happen, you'll get to the end of the driveway and it'll feel, the devil will say, I think your perfect soundness is gone. That preacher's a liar. You know? And it won't make, God's not a liar and this preacher's not a liar either. And, you know, you'll get to the end of the driveway and the devil will say, no, you don't feel that perfect soundness anymore. Oh, you'll go home and, you know, or there'll be a pain will shoot through your body or something will try to test you or tempt you. And, you know, your mind will say, I guess it didn't work. No. We have to work it, so to speak. Cast that imagination down. Cast that thought down. Say, no. I have the perfect soundness of God. You know, and folks, the point that I was going to make is that there is such an attack today on the word of faith. Oh, the word of faith doesn't work. The word of faith is this. And believe me, I know there's been abuses. But I'm telling you, those that abuse it have taken it and they've run away from what the Bible has said. And, you know, when I see some ridiculous thing of someone standing next to cars and, you know, confessing their Buick is going to be a Porsche and, you know, confessing, you know, all this nonsense, you know, and I sit there and it is disgusting to me. It is. But to speak the truth, to speak the word, you do not want anything taking that away from you because it is absolutely your weapon that is going to ensure that you hold on to that perfect soundness. Folks, that's what we have tonight. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. Let's just praise Him and we'll get ready to dismiss. Father God, we love You. Lord, I obeyed You. Lord, I obeyed You. And Lord, I thank You that You so greatly demonstrate Your desire to help us, Your desire to love us, Your desire to provide, and what You truly want for us all, perfect soundness. In His name, and by faith in His name, this man has this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Father, that's for him, that's for that man at the gate called Beautiful, and it's for us. Glory to God. I believe it, and I decide right now that I'm not letting anything take it away from me. Yep. Do you know, I taught you how to maintain that soundness in your life. But the Holy Ghost, you know, He's saying you have to obey. We got to obey Him. And folks, that's not an indictment against you or me. But I'm just here to tell you, there's things that God, if you'll open your heart to Him, He'll start addressing things in your life. He'll say, you know what? You're putting this in front of me. You're putting this in front of me. Or, you know, or maybe not. I mean, there's times when we're just walking with the Lord and we're obedient, but I'm just saying, if there's something that you've put in front of God, get rid of it or set it aside or put it in its proper place. Because if there's something that we've put in front of the Lord, or if we're not obeying Him in an area in life, it'll keep the door open for the devil to come in and steal. If there's a door open to the enemy, shut it. Yeah. There's times in my life where I discovered, oh my goodness, I've allowed something else to rob my life with God. And the Lord will say, yeah, get rid of that. And then I have to. Just be open to it. If that's the case with you. I've been there. We all will be there at one point or another, but it doesn't mean everybody's going through that right now. But if, we just have to remember, if we want to hold on to that perfect soundness and we're not obeying God somewhere, meaning that you know in your heart, you'll know what it is that you're disobeying God with, get it right. And that's God loving us. That's God helping us. Yeah. Father, we just praise You. We glorify You. You are faithful and good. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, before we dismiss, it's right and it's good for me to make sure that everybody in here has made Jesus the Lord of their life. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. Please, everybody, just ask this question to yourself within your own heart. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? If I were to die today, would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? If you don't know the answer to that question beyond all shadow of a doubt, then you need to make Jesus your Lord. It's not Family Church's idea. It's not my idea. It's God's idea. And I'm just here to tell you about it. I'm 46 years old, and at the age of 23, I gave my life to Christ. I took Him as my Lord and my Savior, and I never looked back. Then I discovered that I was called to be a pastor. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I need Jesus. I need my sins to be washed away. I need to know that I have eternal life. I need to know that heaven is my home, and I want to live a life that serves God. We got to live a life to serve Him. We only get one life. Let's make it count. And if that's you here tonight, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to send anybody else up to you. I'm not going to do any of that. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So what I would do is I would just simply ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer. Everybody will be praying. And you right there in your seat, you can pray along and invite Jesus into your heart. And again, I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to make you stand up or come down front. But right there in your seat, between you and your Heavenly Father. If that's you, could you take that small step of faith tonight and just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Take that small step towards God and say, yes, I need Jesus as my Lord. Is there anyone here that you've never made Jesus? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that you'd say, yes, Pastor, that's me. That's all it is. I'm going to have you lift your hand, then I'm going to have you pray, and all you have to do is mean it. Be sincere. Anybody else before we pray? Is there anybody that you feel like God's really dealing with you and you just need to respond? Just respond. God loves you. Maybe you're here tonight and you are a Christian. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord, but maybe you've walked away from Him. Maybe you're not serving Him the way you know you should be. I'm not talking about you missed it and got right with God. I'm talking that you really need to rededicate your life to Him. If that's you, if you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord here tonight, could you lift your hand? Is there anybody here? I see those hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I see several hands. You can put them down. God loves you. Yeah, well, we can just get that right in our hearts. You know, talk to God. He loves you. Father, we just praise you. We glorify your holy name. If you lifted your hand to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray these words with us right out of your mouth. Again, it's out of the Bible. It's not our idea. Just mean it with all your heart. We'll be just praying right along with you. We're not trying to just put you on, you know, make a spectacle out of you or anything. But just pray it and mean it with your heart. Speak the words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God is good. Well, we just give all the glory to the Lord. God is so faithful. Let's stand to our feet. We're just going to rejoice and be glad, and then we're going to be dismissed. Feel free, you know, to get some refreshments in the fellowship hall if you'd like. Father God, we just praise you tonight. Father, we just say we have perfect soundness. Father, we receive it. We believe it. Come on, everybody. Do you believe it? Father, I believe we have perfect soundness. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm free. They're free. Father, we're walking in the freedom of Christ. Glory to God. Folks, do you believe that? If so, go ahead and praise him and just rejoice and be glad. Father, we thank you with all of our heart. We bless you, Lord God. You are faithful and good. And Father, we declare your blessing upon each one that is here tonight. Your highest, your best, your angels go before them. No evil befall them, no plague near their dwelling. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.